Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at the impact that movies have on our minds.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating area.
You know, we all know that powerful films can make us laugh or cry or scream.
Exactly. And sometimes all at the same time.
But what's really going on up there in our brains?
Well, that's what we're going to try to uncover today. And we're going to be using a series of blog posts by Dr. Alejandro Sanchez as our guide.
Oh, cool. I've always kind of been curious about like what makes a good director so effective at making us feel so strongly for these characters, you know, that we see on screen.
Right. Well, it turns out there's a whole field of research that's dedicated to understanding the psychological and neurological effects of film. It's called psychocinematics.
Psychocinematic.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a relatively new area of study, but it's already given us some really fascinating insights.
Cool.
Like, for instance, researchers have found that movies are really effective at triggering emotions, maybe even more so than other forms of media.
Really? Why is
Yeah.
that? Is it just because we're drawn to stories?
Well, I mean, that's certainly part of it, but there's more to it than that. Greenwood and Long, in their 2015 research, they pointed out that films are incredibly immersive experiences. We're not just reading words on a page. We're seeing and hearing the story unfold before our eyes.
Right.
And the way filmmakers use cinematic techniques like montage or close-ups can really heighten our emotional response.
Oh, so it's like the director is playing with our senses to make us feel a certain way.
Exactly. Think about those iconic scenes in films that give you chills or make you tear up. Chances are the director carefully crafted those moments using specific techniques to evoke that exact response.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
It is.
So we know that movies can make us feel things very deeply, but how do they actually affect our brains?
Well, that's where some pretty amazing technology comes in, fMRI,
fMRI.
right?
Yeah.
Functional magnetic resonance imaging. This allows researchers to actually see which areas of the brain light up when someone's watching a film.
So they can actually see our brains, you know, working while we're watching the movie.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. That's incredible.
One of the pioneers in this field is a guy named Uri Hassan.
Yeah.
And back in 2008, he did this really fascinating study.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Okay, so Hassan and his team, they had participants watch four very different film clips while they were undergoing fMRI scans.
Okay.
They showed him an episode of Alfred Hitchcock's Bang, You're Dead,
Okay.
a clip from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly,
Okay.
an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm,
Okay.
and then, just to compare, a simple unedited shot of people walking in Washington Square Park.
Okay, so what happened?
Well, the results were really interesting. Bang, You're Dead elicited the most brain activity, with over 55% of the cortex lighting up. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly came in second at 45%. And then Curb Your Enthusiasm with only 18%, and that unedited park scene, less than 5%.
Wow. So Hitchcock really knew how to get our brains going.
He did.
But why such a difference? I mean, why didn't the park scene engage people as much?
All right, that's the key question.
Yeah.
And it really gets to the heart of what makes movies so powerful. Hassan theorized that the level of the director's intentionality, the way they use techniques to guide our attention and emotions, plays a huge role in how our brains respond.
Okay, so like watching the park scene is just kind of like passively observing the world around us, but watching a well-directed film is like having a storyteller lead us on a journey.
That's a great way to put it. Our brains crave structure and narrative and emotional cues. And great filmmakers know how to deliver those things in a way that truly captivates us.
It's like they're almost like brain surgeons manipulating our neural responses to create a very specific experience.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy.
So it's not just about entertainment, it's about how filmmakers use their craft to really connect with us on a neurological level.
Right. And this leads us to an even deeper question. You know, we've seen that different movies activate different parts of our brains.
Yeah.
But what's happening within those activated regions? What makes certain films stick with us for years,
Right.
you know, while others fade from memory?
That's a great question. I've definitely had movies that have stuck with me long after I watched them,
Right.
and I always wondered why.
Me too. To
Yeah.
understand that, we need to dive into the part of the brain that's most responsible for processing emotions, the limbic system.
Okay, the limbic system. I'm ready to dive
All
in.
right, let's do it. Okay, so the limbic system, it's this network of structures deep in our brains, and it plays a key role in how we process and regulate emotions.
Yeah, the limbic system. It's a term I've definitely heard before, but I'll be honest, my understanding of it's kind of fuzzy. Like, what exactly is it? And how does it tie into, you know, our experience of watching movies?
Right. Well, think about it this way. You know how sometimes a movie can make you laugh or cry or even jump out of your seat?
Yeah.
Well, that's your limbic system in action. It's basically our emotional control center.
So when a scary movie makes my heart race,
yeah,
that's my limbic system telling me to get out of there.
Exactly. It's responsible for that fight or flight response.
Yeah.
You know, triggering a surge of adrenaline that gets you ready to either face the threat or run away.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But it's not all about fear, right? What about other emotions, like the joy of watching a really upbeat movie or the sadness we feel at a tragic ending?
Right. You got it. The limbic system's involved in a whole range of emotions. Different parts of this system are responsible for processing different types of feelings.
Okay. So which parts are we talking about?
Well, there's the hippocampus, which helps us form memories. Then there's the hypothalamus, which regulates things like hunger and thirst.
Okay.
And then there's the amygdala. It's really key for processing fear and other strong emotions.
Gotcha.
And then we had the thalamus. It acts kind of like a relay station, directing sensory information to different parts of the brain.
Wow. So it's a pretty complex system, all these different parts working together as we're watching a movie, trying to make sense of this whole emotional roller coaster.
Exactly. And researchers have been using that fMRI technology we talked about to actually study how the limbic system reacts to the emotions triggered by films.
Oh, wow. So they can see how our brains are responding to these emotions in real time.
Yeah. One study that I found particularly interesting was by Karama, Armini, and Beauregard back in 2011.
Okay.
They wanted to look at how the limbic system responded to different emotional states that were triggered by watching movie clips.
Okay. So, like, did they show people comedies to make them laugh or dramas to make them sad and so on?
Yeah. Well, they actually focused on three very specific emotions: disgust, amusement, and sexual arousal.
Mm.
To trigger these feelings, they showed participants carefully selected film clips.
Interesting.
And to have a point of comparison, you know, they also had a neutral condition where they showed participants clips of just everyday activities like carpentry.
Okay. So what did they learn? Did different parts of the limbic system like light up depending on, you know, what emotion was being shown in the clip?
Yeah, that's exactly what they found.
Yeah.
The fMRI scans showed a surge in activity in very specific areas of the limbic system as well as other parts of the cortex during those emotional clips when you compare them to the neutral condition.
Okay. So it's not just one part of the brain saying, hey, I'm grossed out. It's like this whole network of brain regions firing off.
Exactly. It's like a symphony of neural activity across different regions working together.
That's so cool. And are these like the same brain regions that are involved when we feel these emotions in real life?
Yeah. That's the really interesting part. So in a way, watching a movie is almost like a simulation of those emotions.
Yeah.
But in a safe environment, you know?
Right. It's like we get to try on these different emotions without actually having to go through the real life experiences.
Exactly. And that actually highlights the potential of using film in therapeutic settings.
In therapy? How so?
Well, imagine being able to use carefully chosen film clips to help people work through difficult emotions or even develop coping mechanisms, you know?
Ah, that's fascinating. So you could use a film to help someone process grief or anxiety.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The idea isn't to replace traditional therapy, of course.
Right.
But to use film as a tool to supplement it.
So kind of like an extra tool.
Yeah. Yeah. A movie can provide this shared experience, you know, for the therapist and the patient to connect over. And it can create a sense of understanding and rapport.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's like you're using the power of storytelling to access those deeper emotional truths.
Exactly. And that's just one example of how psychocinematics, you know, is revealing the therapeutic potential of film.
This is honestly making me rethink how I see movies. It's not just about entertainment. It's about understanding, you know, the power of film to really impact us.
Right. And that brings us to a bigger question. What about the impact that movies have beyond our own individual experiences? What about the social impact of film?
Right, like how movies can shape our understanding of the world or even influence our beliefs and values.
Exactly, and that's actually what we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive.
Okay, so we've talked about how movies can really tap into our emotions and even maybe be used in therapy.
Right, but let's kind of zoom out now and think about the bigger picture. You know, the impact of films on society as a whole.
Hmm. Yeah, because movies don't exist in isolation, right? They reflect the culture that makes them. But they also can shape that culture.
Exactly. It's a two-way street.
So do you think filmmakers have like a responsibility to use their platform for, you know, to promote good in society?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's one that people have been debating for decades.
Yeah.
Some people think that art should just be for entertainment.
Right.
Well, others say that it has like a moral obligation to tackle these big social issues.
Yeah, I can see both sides. I mean, I love movies that just let me escape for a couple of hours,
Right.
but I also appreciate movies that make me think, about the world and my place in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is that most films, even the ones that are meant to be pure entertainment, they still end up conveying messages about the world, whether the filmmaker intended to or
Oh,
not.
yeah, for sure.
They present perspectives on, relationships, on social norms, cultural values, all sorts of things.
Right.
And those messages can subtly influence how we see the world and how we interact with each other.
So even if a movie isn't trying to be political, it still might be shaping how we understand things.
Exactly. Think about how romantic comedies often show these unrealistic expectations about love,
Oh, yeah.
or how action movies might glorify violence.
Right.
These messages, they kind of seep into our subconscious and affect our beliefs and behaviors, even if we don't realize it.
Yeah, that's kind of a scary thought.
It is. And
Yeah.
that's why media literacy is so important. It's
Yeah.
about being able to really analyze and evaluate the films we watch, understanding those techniques that filmmakers use, and recognizing the underlying messages they might be sending.
It's like we need to develop our own filters to process everything we're taking in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think the more we learn about the psychology of film, the better equipped we'll be to choose, which movies we watch and how we let them affect us.
This has been such a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
It's made me realize that movies are way more than just a way to pass the time.
I agree.
They can actually change how we see ourselves and the world.
Absolutely. And the research in this area is just going to keep growing, I think, revealing even more about this really complex relationship between film and our minds.
Well, I know I'm going to be looking at movies a little differently now.
Me too.
And to our listeners out there, we would love to hear from you. What movie has had the biggest impact on you? Think about those films that really stuck with you long after the credits rolled, the ones that made you question things or see the world in a new way, or maybe just touched your heart in a way that nothing else has. Share your stories and keep the conversation going. And until next time, happy watching.